We'll chop it up. We'll get Chip's thoughts on this. We'll also ask Chip about Texas baseball, Texas football. I mean, he covers everything for Horns247.com, our weekly conversation with our Longhorns insider. Easy for me to say. Chip Brown is brought to you by our friends at Cover 3. Chip joins us now. See, Breezy, how we doing today, man?
What's going on, fellas?
You doing all right, buddy?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
How's the...
Always cooking up a little something. You know, football season never ends. And when you're playing at the top of the game and all these other sports, it's fun covering, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's fun covering. How's your recovery going? Are you back to playing at the highest levels of your sports?
I recovered from the bicep surgery. I don't know if you can see the scar or not, but it's back. I'm back. I'm ready to go.
You're ready to go, but what does the doctor say when you're ready to go?
Yeah, I know. The doctor said,
I'm ready to go too.
The doctor said, another month.
There you go.
But in another month, I'll have knee replacement surgery.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's so the one I was.
Year. 2026 is my year to go bionic.
There you go.
And it's all building up for 2027.
Don't worry, they always tell you about your knee. They'll tell you, hey, it'll be as good as ever. As long as it doesn't hurt, it's all good.
Yeah. I just want pain-free. That's all.
That's it. That's me. Pain-free. I take that.
Pain-free. I love it. Well, Chip, before we dive into some Longhorn conversation, I'm sure you've seen the recommendations by the American Football Coaches Association yesterday talking about amending the college football schedule, getting rid of conference championship games, you know, shortening the season in terms of dates, reducing the amount of bye weeks from 2 to 1. I guess your thoughts on what could be some major changes coming to college football here within the next couple of years.
Well, this is where it's needed to go for a long time. You know, the sad part about college football, you know, since 1984, when Oklahoma and Georgia won the lawsuit and the right to have, you know, their own schools have their own television rights. Of course, it ended up being by conference. And so you've got each conference looking out for itself, which is the worst way to negotiate television. And, you know, I've been saying since 2010, since that realignment shift where the Pac-12 tried to bring in 6 schools from the from the Big 12, that you are going to have all the power conferences come together, collectively bargain, because that's where all the money was, just like the NFL. And at the time, the NFL, you know, was bringing in $27 billion a year. There's no doubt college football could get on that level. And I said at the time, you're going to have to go back to an 11-game schedule. You're going to have to get rid of the conference championships if you're going to extend. And I said at the time, a 16-team playoff, just like FCS. And, you know, we're kind of meandering, and finally it's on the table. Finally, these are the conversations that we're having. And, you know, 24 seems like a lot, because what is going to be the final number of the superpowers? Is going to be 65? You know, the Power Four plus Notre Dame? Is it going to be less than that? And if it's 65, okay, 24 makes sense. But I think you're seeing Greg Sankey of the SEC tapping the brakes on 24, because I don't think he's sure what that final number is going to be. And, I mean, he knows the SEC and the Big Ten are going to be in there, and that gives you 34. So, you know, if it's 34... okay, 16. That's, you know, almost half the teams make the playoff. Mm-hmm. And you can continue to play the big big brand non-conference games. I think he's saying 24, whoa. What are we doing here? Of course, the other, you know, conferences not named, and although the Big Ten has said they'd be open to 24, you know, the Big 12, ACC, they're all like, yeah, 24, 24. We need as many access points as we can get. But this is a key moment in the timeline, because we're going to decide what college football, its structure is going to be. Because Greg Sankey knows, if you go to 24, what are the odds you're going to ever scale backward to 16? And he's saying, hey, for once, let's go big picture here.
Sure.
And so there's a lot of unspoken stuff going on right now about what this final version of the superpowers of college football, who's going to be in that class. Are we going to have a new middle class with the G6s and whoever in the Power Four doesn't make the cut? And then FCS, there's television money for everyone. Probably it's not going to be as high as what there is, you know, in the superpower, but it's fascinating. And, you know, for years we talked about, okay, are the streamers going to get involved? Is Amazon going to come in? Is Apple going to come in? You know, are they Google now? Are they going to buy up rights and drive the price up? And, you know, they've gotten involved, but they're not rushing in. They're, you know, Netflix, they're all kind of picking and choosing. They're being very careful. And so I'm fascinated to watch this dynamic, because I can see why Greg Sankey is saying, hold off on 24, because of what I just said. What, you know, how many teams are really going to be in this thing? And how much, you know, there was a window where you could have had everyone come together, collect, probably between 2010 and 2015. But after that, the SEC kept getting bigger. The Big Ten kept getting bigger. Now, the Big Ten got bigger for stupid reasons, outdated reasons, cable market reasons that don't exist anymore. So they grabbed Maryland and Rutgers and teams that don't add anything in terms of television markets. The SEC has been really smart about it. You know, once they got A&M, man, they got Texas. They really added to the brand and the history. Then you get Texas, Oklahoma. Are you kidding me? So, you know, Sankey's like, we've got really good stuff here. I don't know that we need to go to 24 right now. But I do think, you know, the fact that we're talking about eliminating one of those non-conference games that no one gives a crap about, get rid of that. You know, sorry, Texas State. Sorry, UTEP.
Right.
So we're going to get rid of one of the tomato can non-conference games. And then the conference championship, which was a money grab to begin with.
Are they reluctant? I mean, we're going to get to that point where none of those coaches at those the Big Ten or the SEC, they're not going to be reluctant and just have a lot of blowback about conference championship. They're going to say, who cares? I mean, is it going to get to that point? Are they there now?
Well, you have to come up with something that replaces it or incorporates it.
Okay.
You know, either you incorporate it into the playoff, or you know, you sell your fan base, your presidents on the fact that, hey, that money is going to be replaced.
Okay.
The other thing about 24 is there's a law of diminishing return. There will be a point where the TV partners say, this isn't worth it to me. These early round games are garbage. You know, we're not paying for that. We'll pay for 16. We're already paying for 12. We'll pay for 16. You're going to go ahead and farm that other stuff out to, you know, whoever, but Fox and ESPN, we're not bidding on that. So all of that stuff is getting talked about right now in the back halls, because the sad part about college football right now is it is run by ESPN and Fox. You have the ESPN conference, SEC, you have the Big Ten conference, Fox, and they're the ones that are driving this thing. And it's unfortunate because in the NFL, the teams, the owners still drive it. And in college football, they have been at the mercy of the television partners. And that's a tough place to be. But until you change the mindset of each commissioner looking out for their own schools instead of the greater good, this is where we are.
Yeah, commissioner would be nice in college football, or just, you know, having a governing body that actually gave a crap would also help too. It'll be fascinating to see what happens there. Yeah, big proposed changes coming to college football, and we'll see if and when they get approved. I guess none of this stuff would start in 2026. We'd be talking about 2027 and beyond, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. All right. Well, with the 2026 team, I want to get to baseball here and then get back to football here. I want to get your thoughts, Chip, on last night's Texas baseball win over UTSA. Man, it's some about the Longhorns and the Roadrunners. When they share the same diamond, craziness happens. The Longhorns able to come from behind. They get the Carson Tenney go-ahead grand slam in the eighth inning. They beat UTSA 11-8. If you're Texas, do you now feel good about, hey, if UTSA is in our regional, we can beat them? Or are you still like, yeah, maybe we'd prefer they end up in College Station or literally anywhere else?
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, UTSA had won three in a row dating back to 2020 against Texas, including ending the Longhorns season last year after the Longhorns won the SEC regular season championship, which is a freaking gauntlet. UTSA rolled up into Austin and said, yeah, you're done. So, you know, last night's game, I thought, was emblematic of where this Texas baseball team has been all year. One part of their game is looking good. Maybe it's hitting, maybe it's pitching. And then the other one starts to break down. Last night, you saw it within the game. You saw, you know, the hitting up and down, the pitching up and down. And, you know, the good news is, you know, what you saw last week against Mississippi State, you saw Anthony Pack and Carson Tenney not come through when they had men on base. And they've been outstanding in that situation all year. Last night, Carson Tenney, grand slam. And so that part makes you feel good that they still have that mojo. They still have that killer instinct. We can still come through when we absolutely have to come through. And they have outstanding starting pitching in Dylan Volantis and outstanding, you know, closer ability in Cozart. Everything else has been a little bit, you know, up and down. We're not quite sure. We're hoping. Ruger Riojas has been really good at home, not so good on the road. Luke Harrison gives up five runs in the first inning and then does an amazing job to, you know, bar the door and hold off any more runs just long enough for Texas to come up with some offense to beat Mississippi State in game three. So I don't know what to make of this Texas baseball team. They have enough. You know, I think they have enough to go win the SEC tournament, but I think they have enough to win a regional and a super regional, go to Omaha.
You don't like the stress.
Yeah, there's just a lot of this.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of up and down, a lot of seasickness and car sickness in there as you're traveling. And that's, you know, you just hope it all comes together when you need it.
Yeah, definitely. Chip Brown of Horns 24/7 joining us here, our Longhorns Insider segment presented by our friends at Cover 3. Chip, football question now. Ryan Niblett. I don't think Ryan Niblett gets enough love, even from Texas fans. I mean, definitely not nationally, but we could be talking about the best return man in the country going into 2026. Love to get your thoughts on him, but also, you know, Bucky and I have gotten into this. I think every Texas fan has gotten into this debate a time or two. Do you find more of a role for Ryan Niblett on offense? Like, we know when the ball is in his hands, he can make some great things happen. But on the other hand, you've got, you know, all these great weapons with Cam Coleman and Relique Brown and Hollywood Smothers and Jermaine Bishop. So obviously you're taking one of them off the field to put Niblett on. What type of role does Ryan Niblett have in your eyes this year? Is he special teams only, or is he a bigger part of Steve Sarkisian's offense?
Here's the thing. Ryan Niblett, and you're right, you need to give more credit to Ryan Niblett. He saved the season last year. The punt return against Oklahoma, the punt return against Mississippi State with a minute 30 left to pull off one of the most improbable comebacks on the road. And the two punt returns against Kentucky that set up 10 points in a, you know, 16-13 overtime win. But now maybe they give him another chance, because last year the offense was totally out of sync. You know, when Sark is not in rhythm with his quarterback, the play calling looks terrible, and Sark gets out of rhythm. He doesn't know what to call because, you know, you saw Arch skipping easy passes in the dirt, all that. This year, I think Arch is a different quarterback. I think those types of days where he's just like, oh, God, it's happening again. The uh-oh, here we go again factor that we just couldn't quite explain at times. I mean, he skipped a couple balls early in the Citrus Bowl, and then he settled down and everything was fine. If those guys are in sync and the offensive line is more experienced and everything, then maybe there's so much going on that you can incorporate Ryan Niblett more easily this year than it felt forced last year.
Yeah.
But everything felt forced at times last year. So the one thing you know is that kid is fearless in the punt return game. And he got better as the year went on. Because remember, there were times he was letting the ball bounce and it's going 35 yards backwards. You're like, what is going on out there? So, you know, things got better. I think you test it out. But, you know, we were talking about this the other day. You've got a locked in starting set of receivers and Cam Coleman, Ryan Wingo, and Emmett Mosley. You've also got Jermaine Bishop Jr., who's electric. And if you don't play this guy and, you know, make him feel like he's part of the equation, he's probably going to be one of the most sought after transfer targets going into next January. That is going to be the dilemma for Steve Sarkisian. He wants to win it all, but he's also got some young talent that he's going to need to showcase at times. And they found a steal in Sterling Burkhalter too. I mean, this guy, he may have had the best spring of any receiver, like from start to finish. He played in Sarkisian's offense last year at Wake Forest. He catches everything. He's 6'3", 200. You saw him in the open practice. Bo Masco's draped all over him. He catches a 3rd-and-8 pass, converts the third down. That was a great pickup, because if something happens to Cam Coleman or Ryan Wingo, Sterling Burkhalter can step right into either one of those roles and be fine. So, you know, I think there could be room for Ryan Niblett the way that there was room for Keelan Robinson. Like, remember Keelan Robinson was such a key part of the Big 12 championship?
Yeah.
You know, he had two touchdowns, or he had two big plays that, you know, Sark can dial up a game plan for a Ryan Niblett depending on what he's seeing from the defense. I think we could see that this year.
Yeah, I hope not. I want him to be a specialist. I don't want to overextend him. He's absolutely great at what he does. I'm not trying to make up stuff for him. There's too many other good players, Chip, on this audience. Yeah. Like you said, you named him, including the other running back. If you could put him out there in a slot and let him do stuff. I'm not messing around with my All-American punt returner. I don't want him overextend. I want him to do, as you said, catch the ball. Don't let it bounce. Do what you've been doing. I don't see him much of a weapon extra. I mean, unless it's through the flow of the game, like you said, they're winning a game, and all of a sudden, hey Ryan, we know what the little play we had for you. We're going to try it right now. So, but don't make it so that it's in his mind. It's just kind of, you know, we've been working on this. If it doesn't work, we'll never see it again. If you don't, just don't do it. Don't do it. Don't overextend the kid. You have too many other good athletes.
Right, and he's a junior, so you've got. You know, you've got another year from him, possibly. But I'm with you. I'm with you, Buck, because like I love Raleigh Brown. I know some people love Hollywood Smothers. I love Raleigh Brown. Like this guy is, you know, like we talked about, Jabbar Jaloop called him a Tasmanian devil, bowling ball full of razor blades. Like I love the, I love his running style. It is electric. It's supercharged. He doesn't shy from contact. And he's thick and powerful. You got Derek Cooper, who, you know, you could make him your short yardage back. You got weapons, man. I mean, this is going to be the ultimate test of Steve Sarkisian's ability to make the magic happen. Weave all of this talent together seamlessly, like he did at Alabama in 2020, when he had talent coming out of his talent, and get into rhythm early and then just kind of orchestrate. And yeah, don't force anything. Don't force anything.
Yeah. Last question for me here, Chip Brown, Horns247.com, joining us here on Bucky and BK. Chip, I know you put together your insider and your post spring depth chart projections recently. You know, one of the positions that I'm curious about is defensive end opposite of Colin Simmons. We know Colin Simmons is a starter. He's one of the best defensive players in the country. But you go to that strong side defensive end. Obviously, Ethan Burke is off to the NFL. I know you've got Lance Jackson as your starter. Do you think he's got kind of a stranglehold on that position? Is it going to be a rotation? Is it going to be a battle that goes into fall camp? I think that's one of the more important positions on the defense, right? The guy opposite of Colin Simmons. How do you see that battle kind of playing out?
Yeah, I mean, Lance Jackson got a lot of reps last year for a freshman. He got 51 reps in the Citrus Bowl. That's part of the reason Ethan Burke opted out, because he knew they were trying to load up Lance Jackson, because he's physically, he is what you want. I mean, the guy's 272 and carries it like Adonis. But they, you know, they love Zena Umezolo and Jamarian Carlton. I mean, that guy's a big, strong freshman. You're going to see those guys rotate. And then, you know, Muschamp loves that strong side linebacker coming off the edge. Brad Spence, Cozy Opala is in that role for them. And so I'm going to be fascinated to see how Muschamp dials all that up. But Lance Jackson and Zena both. Because in that, in Muschamp's scheme, those guys are going to play outside the tackle, but they're also going to play the four eye, which, you know, is head up on the tackle or even on the inside shoulder of the tackle, where you're basically a lineman. And they're all going to be more physical. They're going to have to be more physical in being able to shed and stack and stop the run. And I think that that's what I'm most interested to see, because, you know, Lance Jackson, like a young player, he's trying to get to the quarterback. Ethan Burke was stopping the run on the way to the quarterback. You know, he wasn't giving up his gap. He wasn't even thinking about it. And he had those long arms. He would just push guys backwards and then, you know, get rid of them and make the tackle in the run game. That's where it's got to get better from that position. But I think it's going to rotate, because you got some specimens there. You know, Lance Jackson, Zena, Jamarian Carlton. You know, I think they're working Justice Terry at the tackle position, at that three technique position. And you could also play him out there, because he's big enough, strong enough to be able to, you know, play the five technique and go inside at the four eye. And so that's going to be a really interesting position to watch. Does someone emerge as like the guy, or is it, we're going to piecemeal this thing throughout the game. Right now I'd say it's piecemeal.
Okay.
All right. For me, Chip, defensively, this secondary, do they have enough talented guys? I mean, I'm sure we're going to say they have enough talent, but to make it through a long SEC season at towards the end of the season, where these guys will be still face-to-face with pretty decent receivers and not be backed up and get to be so nervous that, you know, I thought last year they were okay early. I thought later in the year, guys started to back up more. They looked like they didn't want to be real aggressive. They just wanted to keep everything in front. They were afraid things were going to go over the top of them. Do they have enough guys to stay aggressive through the whole season? Or do you feel like maybe there's going to be one or two of them that you'll see starting to back up a little bit in this secondary?
Yeah, and that's not going to be okay with Will Muschamp. And that's the biggest reason why Steve Sarkisian made the decision that he did to go away from Pete Kwiatkowski, because Kwiatkowski's default was, once he had a lead, was to play off coverage, keep everything in front of you, tackle to catch, and then play great red zone defense. Well, you know, Sarkisian wants to attack, and he found the ultimate guy, a Kirby Smart-like guy, to go after you and attack. And I do think these corners want to attack, but they need to be coached in a way that they're truly attacking and not just playing patty cake at the line. And I you know, some of the guys in that open practice, you know, Samari Matthews, that guy, he has not been through the, hey, let's play off coverage. He's just like, he's kind of got an untrained mind. He can, you know, be aggressive. Getting Kobe Black. Now, Warren Roberson will attack no matter what. Sometimes he attacks too much. He's too handsy. But, you know, they love Cade Phillips. I mean, they love Cade Phillips because of his temperament. You know, he gets beat on a kind of a wide receiver screen against Michigan. And Michigan ends up, you know, making a big play and ultimately scoring. They went back to that play, and he shed his block, made the tackle behind the line. They think his upside is so great that it could be a breakout year for Cade Phillips. They really trust Bo Masco. So now it's on a 6'2", 194-pound Kobe Black, who's got all the measurables, but got roasted in the Florida game, gave up two touchdowns to Dallas Wilson, the freshman, and then built himself back up, got his confidence back, made the interception against Texas A&M. They need, you know, they had him running with the ones pretty much all spring to like, hey, we want to see it. We want to see what juice you have. We want to see your confidence. We want to see you get after it. And he's made a lot of plays. So long-winded answer to your question, Buck. I think they do have the depth at corner. And part of it's going to be because of the way that Muschamp, you know, coaches
that. So the philosophy won't change no matter where it is in the season.
Right. He's going to put you up on the line. He'll have the safeties kind of eyeing if they need to, you know, shade for help. But at the line, the first 5-10 yards, you're going to, you know, you're going to be playing man.
Awesome. Yeah.
Fascinating. Chip Brown, Horns 24/7, joining us here. The spring sale still going on. Horns247.com. Get 50% off that first year annual membership and also that Paramount Plus, right, Chip?
That's right. If you sign up for an annual membership without a promo, you get the year subscription to Paramount Plus. So all the UFC fights, you don't have to pay for the pay-per-view. You just get it with Paramount Plus, you know, all the international soccer, Landman, all the great shows. So horns247.com. We're covering it all for you.
There we go. You're the man. Chip, always enjoy chopping it up. Appreciate the time, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Chip.
Appreciate y'all.
Thank there you, he man. Goes. See Breezy. Chip Brown, horns247.com. And our weekly Longhorns Insider conversation is brought to you by our friends at Cover 3, the best sports bar in town, right there off of Anderson Lane, just east of Mopac. They got the TVs. They've got the great food. I mean, you think of sports bar, you're like, yeah, the sports are cool and I'll drink some cold beer, but like the food's going to suck. So that's not the case with Cover 3. Their menu is absolutely fantastic. Their social hour specials every afternoon are great. They've got a weekend brunch. The Sean Adams prime rib sandwich is a go-to. The brick chicken mac and cheese. There's a lot. Something for everybody. And of course, they've got the cold beer, the great drinks, the TVs everywhere, the fantastic service. Everybody who works there is awesome. It's a great family atmosphere that they've got. Go to Cover 3. It's the best sports bar in town. Cover 3, dining, spirits, sports.
Love it.
Yeah, good question about the secondary. And
I just wonder if they, I just, you know how they got last year. They just got really loose, that nobody was aggressive. Everything, yep, whether it was, hell, I don't even know if it was man or zone. It all looked like zone to me. You know, third and eight guys are backed up to 12 yards. I'm like, my goodness.
Yeah, clearly Steve Sarkisian was looking for more aggression from his defense.
Yeah.
I think the biggest reason why he made the move from PK to Will Muschamp. And yeah, there were too many times where Texas was playing prevent in the last couple of years. And
they lost that edge later on in the season. It got to be too easy for teams.
It felt like it was preventing Texas from winning games.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think of the Vanderbilt game specifically last year. Obviously, the Longhorns did win that game, but they had that huge lead in the fourth quarter, and they just started playing super soft coverage. And Vanderbilt came all the way back in the game, and it ended up being just a 3-point win for Texas. It was way closer than it needed to be.
Yeah, and BK, I'm going to leave my All-American punt returner back there. I'm not messing around with him. I got too many other weapons. I have too many young guys that can do some things, and Bishop and those guys. I'm not making up something for a guy. I want him, like you said, I don't want to see the ball bouncing around. I want to see you even better at even that than you were the year before. Because I know what happens if they get you one block and spring you loose, then it's different. But I just don't want to mess with him.
That's the one. Like, to me, it's partially messing with him, but it's also you shouldn't need him on offense.
No, yes, yeah, that's what.
Last year you didn't have enough explosiveness on offense. No. This year you do. At least you should. You think you do. You spend a lot of money. You better. Your receiving room is so much better. Your running backs are a lot better. Like, you just have so many more dynamic playmakers than you did last year.
Sure.
Where your offense shouldn't need a random spark like it did last year.
No.
Should be consistent. You talked about it yesterday, wanting to get off to a better start versus what we saw in 2025. You should not need to be like, oh, no, we have nothing going. Let's see what the All-American punt returner has. It should be like, our offense is so good. We don't need to try anything different because this is working.
No, I mean, you're in the flow of a game and you've got something special that you've done during the week. He comes in and he gets a reverse or something like that. Yeah. That's fine. But then again, I've seen Wingo on reverses take it to the house. I don't even want to. And then I get that guy at ankle or nah, just return my punts. You're a weapon. You are a weapon.
Yeah.
That is our weapon.
He was the second best punt returner in college football last year. Yes. And the guy who was better within him, the kid Weechen out of Iowa, is now in the NFL. That was a fourth round pick by the Steelers. All he does is special teams. Like, he's a wide receiver, I guess, by trade, but he's a special teamer. He got picked in the fourth round because he's that good at that. Like, that could be Ryan Niblett. If Ryan Niblett has another year in 26, like he did in 2025, he could get drafted on that alone.
That's it. You're absolutely right.
He should have been first team all SEC last year. They gave it to KC Concepcion, which was a bunch of Aggies voting on those awards, or maybe they just didn't watch the Lone Star Showdown. I'm not quite sure how that worked, but Niblett put up elite stats last year. And as Chip said, it wasn't just, he had a nice return against the ghost of Sam Houston and scored a touchdown against UTEP. It's like, no, this guy's winning games for Texas in the SEC.
Absolutely.
Like, they could have gone 7-5 instead of 9-3 in the regular season if it wasn't for Niblett's heroics at Kentucky and at Mississippi State.
Yeah, he has a knack for that. I don't want him thinking about anything else. Oh, I've got a couple offensive plays I gotta think about. No, you got a punt return plays to think about. That's all you need to think about.
Hey, if he returns as well as he did last year, then that's fine. Yes. Just keep doing that. Focus on that. I think I'm more okay with giving him some offense than you, but again, you shouldn't need to do it. No. It'll be a problem if you need to. You've got enough else on that side of the football to where should be fun.
Yeah, my deal is to see how good this kid Bishop is and how they're going to use him and some of these gadgets and things like that, and you know, streak routes and out and ups and things like that. How they get that guy loose?
That's a huge question too, because if Jermaine Bishop is going to play, now we've seen it before. It's not like we've never seen it in the Sark era, but how often have we talked about how difficult it is for a young, unproven receiver to get on the field? Very tight rotation that Sark and Chris Jackson keep. Now, Xavier Worthy played a bunch as a freshman. Ryan Wingo played a good amount as a freshman. So it's possible, but it feels like it takes a lot.
Yeah. Well, you get in there and you make a play in any game. I don't care if it's the first game You know, you get in there in a game situation with the crowd buzzing, and you make a play, one of those emotional plays where everybody in the stands is going ooh and an ah, and he will find a place for you from that point on. You'll get in the, there'll be special spots for you, and it won't take away from anybody else, but you do some special. It seems like he's got a special talent, so find a way to use him.
Well, what happens if his first couple of plays aren't great? What if, God forbid, Texas State, Jermaine Bishop, he fumbles? First catch, he fumbles.
Well, you know then how that goes with any coach. That's not just Sark. That's with a lot of coaches.
Well, goes. I mean, I don't know. Like that, if you fumble one time, it shouldn't be the end of your season.
No, and I don't think that would. I don't think that would do it. I mean, because you're going to crush that team anyway. He's going to get him in situations so he could have some success. But his success would be him making it, making two guys miss in the open field.
Yeah, and taking of course. It. Yeah. That's but the hope. Like that's glass half full.
I don't think they'll yank his chain back, get back in the yard kind of deal with him. I think they'll find some ways to get him going. And once he's in, BK, he's in. You know that. Once he makes a dynamic play or two, he's in.
That's the hope. That is the hope. I want him to play, and I think he's one of the most dynamic pieces the Longhorns have, despite being a
– And there's had tons of pieces. And for me, Emmitt Mosley is the guy that I think – you know, I know people talk about such and such will catch as many, but I think Emmitt Mosley may catch more balls than anybody.
I'd be surprised if that happened, but I think he's a very good player. I think the biggest question with Emmitt Mosley is, can he stay on the field? That guy gets hurt a lot. So
yeah, that's not a good recipe for playing a lot, for sure.
It's hard to lead.
We've never seen him really that healthy, because he started to play just coming off injury. He had injuries before. But right. What if he just comes into the year? That'd be interesting to know that guy's truly healthy to start the year. There's no injuries that are from before that are bothering him. So that'd be interesting to see.
That'd be nice. He was hurt in the spring, so he's not healthy right now, at least not 100% healthy right now. But, that's a big storyline, of course, to follow. All right, we'll take your thoughts. The Coda text line, 512-222-9328. The YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Twitch live chats are rocking and rolling as well. We'll get back into some of these proposed rule changes in college football. Of course, the BBK news and why today's not so bad coming up as well. But before we go any further, how about another round of sponsor shout-outs?
Well, if you believe in doing hard things and making a difference, learn more about the RyeProject.com. Our friend, of course, Matt King, is going on a 2,000-mile journey from Mexico to Canada to raise $1 million and to give it all back to communities throughout the Rye. This is something that's incredible. We'll be talking to him when? Friday, BK, I think?
Yep.
We'll be talking to Matt and get an opportunity to discuss what he's going to do. But it is not about comfort. It's about commitment. And he is committed to helping people throughout this country. On every stop, every state that he goes through, he'll find a family or a community that needs some cash, and he will give it right back to them. So we're still in the process of trying to get him even more cash before the journey starts. For more information, please go to therideproject.com.
Therideproject.com. Yep, looking forward to chopping it up with Matt King on Friday. He's at around $500,000 in donations already.
There you go.
So we're about halfway there, still a couple of weeks before the ride gets going. And would love y'all's support. I know he would too. Therideproject.com. Also, a shout out to our friends at Early Bird CBD. It's a golf day today, right?
Yeah, man. Gotta have it. Gotta have it.
You going drops or you going gummies?
Gummies been working really good for me, but I'm gonna take a flyer. I'm gonna go drops.
Okay. I like it. Well, congrats to Dina, by the way. She was the winner of the 4-pack of Early Bird gummies we gave away during yesterday's show and was sent in yesterday's mail, Dina. So be on the lookout for that. If you didn't win, hey, we'll do some more giveaways, but also you could just go to earlybirdcbd.com and get 20% off. You're gonna feel like a winner with that discount code Bucky. And man, you're going to feel really good when you take these products. The Buck always uses them for some pain relief. I use them just to relax, to unwind, to take the edge off. It makes food taste better. It makes shows a little funnier. It makes the couch feel a little better. I melt into the couch more. And it sure makes my sleep better. I can tell you that as well. Earlybirdcbd.com. It's a local Austin company. They make products designed to make you feel good. They've got the gummies. They've got the brand new drops. You just put these in any drink that you're drinking, alcoholic, non-alcoholic, whatever. And they also have the tinctures as well. Earlybirdcbd.com, promo code Bucky for 20% off.
You know what else makes me feel good? Relax the back, folks. I love Relax the Back, and it is 35 years of proven expertise at Relax the Back. Zero gravity recliners available for your Tempur-Pedic pillows, mattress sets. They've got the works and all the accessories that they have. By the way, they're giving away a bunch of those at the Mullet Open, too. Giving away one of those pillows. One of those pillows, you know, the gel pillow, BK? I've tried those. Those don't work for me. But, you know, I got the vibrating ball. I had it on this morning before doing the show. Yes, right. Got my vibrating ball on my knee and ready to go. Love the folks at Relax Back. Two great locations. One is at the Hill Country Gallery across from Whole Foods, and in North Austin at the Gateway Shopping Center across from the Container Store. Live pain-free like the buck at Relax the Back.
Yes, indeed. RelaxTheBack.com to do some shopping online. And they've got everything you need to live pain-free like the buck.
Absolutely.
You know, it is painful. If something's wrong with your roof, that's painful.
Yes,
you know,
it is.
What else can be painful is if, like, yeah, you're not sure if something's wrong with your roof, and then you don't do anything about it, and then all of a sudden a big storm comes, and then your roof is completely destroyed. That can be painful as well. That's why our friends at Qualitas Roofing and Construction exist. They're here to make your roof be something you don't think about. It's one of the most important parts of your home, but you just want it to be there and do its job, and that's it. Well, Qualitas, they offer free inspections and free storm assessments. So if you're a little worried about the crazy weather that we had this past weekend, hey, is my roof okay? Reach out to our friends at Qualitas. They'll come out to your place completely free of charge, and they will check on everything. And how about this? They will buy you a free Longhorns t-shirt. It'll be free to you. They're paying for it if you get your roof inspected. These guys aren't fly-by-night. They're not storm chasers. They've been around. They are going to stay around. They've got a team in Central Texas. They've got a team in DFW. More than 700 five-star reviews, which I guess is more than 500 as well. Fantastic people that do high-quality work. QualitasGC.com for more, or you can give them a call at 512-257-0033. That's 257-0033. It's Qualitas Roofing and Construction. Buck, your thoughts before we get to the BBK news here, just kind of putting a bow on the proposed rule change conversation that we had earlier, where the American Football Coaches Association are suggesting a number of schedule changes to the future of college football. None of these will take place this year. This could start as early as 2027. But your thoughts as a guy who played college football, as a guy who coached in college football, as a guy who has some rings from winning conference championships, your thoughts on the elimination of conference championship games potentially coming our way?
I mean, just being a part of the SEC over the last couple of years, they're so proud of that game. Now, I know to some it may be about money, but the SEC and the members of the SEC, they love that game. It's not just about the money with them. That's to win that championship, because they've always felt like they're the best conference ever. It just means more. Now, lately, the Big Ten has said, well, maybe you're not that great, so maybe we ought to be happy with our championship too. But the Big Ten Conference Championship, it doesn't – they've had so many – teams that end up playing in national championship games. Well, so is the SEC, but SEC conference seems a little bit more enchanted with their conference game and the whole Atlanta thing for some odd reason. And it's just, as you said, it looks like all these coaches are finally getting together and saying, screw that conference championship. That's just a game about money. We got enough money. We can make more money, you know, if we put more teams into the playoffs, and we don't have to worry about that. Some of the old timers that just seemed in the SEC just didn't want to give that away when you listen to them. And I'm okay with it. I don't know what the limit is, but I'd rather get towards the limit sooner than later.
What do you mean? As
Chip said, you know, is it 24 or
playoff? Now you're on the playoff.
Are we going to jump to the next level? Right? Why don't we just start jumping and then worrying about it? Because like you said, BK, it ain't never coming back. It's not going backwards.
Well, we already overjumped going from 4 to 12, right? You could have gone from 4 to 6. You could have gone from 4 to 8. I think 8 is the right number, to be honest. But you already went to 12. And, I mean, as soon as you got to 12, there were talks about 14 or 16.
Immediately, yes.
Now there's talks about 24. And I do think we're going to end up with 24 probably before the decade is over. So I think that's right around the corner. Yeah, look, you're right. The SEC definitely has an inflated view of itself. There's no doubt. But conference championships matter in every conference. Like, it was a big deal. I mean, when Texas won the Big 12 championship a few years ago, I know it was a little extra because it was the last Big 12 title that Texas played in. But, like, it's still a sellout crowd. It's still a game that means a lot. And you hang a banner or you put something on your rafters or
well, – it meant a lot to me. It meant something to me. It was one of the biggest games that I ever – had taken part in it. It wasn't just any game. And that was in my mind, along with, you know, being at Boston College and then never winning a championship, but the miracle pass in Miami, you know, being a part of that championship, you know, winning parts of these Southwest Conference championships, or, I mean, those things meant something. Even when you shared it with other teams, it did mean something.
Yeah, 100%. And that's something you use to talk about how good a college football program is historically, right? I mean, national championships, you talk about All-Americans, you talk about Heisman winners, you talk about conference championships. Like, that's a big deal. It always has been a big deal in the history of this sport. Like, I don't think they should go away, but I will say this. I think you absolutely have to determine a conference champion. If you're going to get rid of the game, I don't love it, but it feels like that's the way we're going. You can't just say we're not even going to give out a trophy.
Somebody's got to be the conference champion of that year.
Right, but you got to figure out how to do it because, I mean, the SEC plays 9 games. Well, there's 16 teams. So there's teams every year that won't play a number of good teams every year. And, I mean, that's a huge conversation, right? We've had it the last couple of years. Oh, this team's only good because their schedule sucks. They didn't have to play them, and them. Like, when you have a game, it's obviously easier to decide, hey, who really is the best team in the conference? And I don't know what you do. I mean, in other sports, there are shared conference titles. Are you going to do that in football? Are you going to say, hey, we're going to give the conference championship to, you know, if there's a tiebreaker, hey, who's the higher-rated team in the playoff? That's the team who gets the conference champ. I don't know exactly what it looks like, but you can't go from conference championships being so ingrained into the fabric of this sport.
Just disappearing, yeah.
To just, it's all about the playoff. We don't even care about them anymore. That can't happen.
No.
And I'm worried it might be, but that's my biggest gripe with all of this right now. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. It's all about the money. You can have a conference champion and still have money. Conference championship games do make a lot of money right now. So the TV partners, we'll see if they're even willing to get rid of those. But yeah,
that's the thing. They remain. Yeah, that's big for them too. It's not just big for the schools. That was big for TV. The SEC championship, is huge money. That's huge for the networks.
It is. And I would think the TV partners are going to say, yeah, of course we want more playoff games because that's money. But also we like these conference championships too. So
yeah, they're not going to be reluctant to say goodbye to that either.
They'll say, hey, let's play 11 regular season games.
Hey coaches, you figure it out, coaches, but we're having that game.
Well, you know, Alabama, you're not going to play East Carolina anymore. In Texas, you're not going to play Texas State anymore. You know, Georgia, you're not playing the Citadel anymore. Like, we're getting rid of one of those games. We're going to play 11 in the regular season. We're going to play a conference champion, and then we're going to play 24 playoff games. Like, that's probably what the TV partners want because they don't make nearly as much money for Texas State as they do Texas, Alabama. So, I don't know. It's going to make my head spin. What is college football anymore? I don't even know.
And how close are we on the verge of 18 games in the NFL? When is that coming up?
Probably
that's about to happen, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the owners want it.
Yeah. It sounded like earlier in their meetings that I'm like, that's not happening this year. No. I mean, but it sounds like by next year, it may be just happening.
Could be next year. And the NFL, I mean, they've got the preseason games, which obviously don't count. Maybe you can compare them to the Texas State matchups. But again, huge difference. One counts, one doesn't. But they would eliminate a preseason game. They'd go down.
You don't get to lose that revenue.
They go down to two. preseason games and then 18 regular season games. So the owners are like, well, they're still playing 20. It's like, well, there's a huge difference between.
Yeah, and college football is not going to care if the scholarship limits to where it is now. They're going to say, listen, you got all these extra scholarship big boys, so you can play more games. And who cares if you play it on Valentine's Day or on Buck's birthday in June? Well, you got enough players now. We've given you all your portals and everything else. What else do you want from us? We need you to play later, and we need more games. Or we need.
I thought you were about the student athlete, Buck. You're out on school now.
Never be out on school. Education is very important.
Well, if you're telling them to play through the spring and into the summer, then it sounds like you're out on the school.
Do they go to school anymore, BK?
I wouldn't. I didn't, and I didn't play.
Oh, my goodness.
I think most of them do. And
we need a couple extra lawyers.
Yeah, they're better kids than I am. All right, the BBK news. I don't know if we need extra lawyers, but, you know, we need extra kids. Let's get to this here. You know, I've had this in the hopper for a while. We've got a pretty funny first pitch that was thrown over the weekend. You know, I'm a Quinn Ewers guy. He went to Texas. I root for Quinn Ewers. I want him to have success in the NFL, and I want him to be the starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins for a long time. I know the chips are stacked against him, 7th-round pick. And I know that the Dolphins went out in free agency and paid Malik Willis a good chunk of change to be their projected starting quarterback this year. Well, Malik Willis, Miami Dolphins, was asked to throw the first pitch at the Miami Marlins game this past weekend. And, you know, it's not 50 Cent bad, Buck, but not great.
Oh, that one got away from him.
You think?
Yeah, I almost hit that guy in a blue shirt.
Yeah, barely missed a few cameramen, barely missed a few fans, and it hit the backstop on the fly.
Yeah, he was a little late on that release.
Just chalk it up to a bad release point. He's got a decent windup.
That dude looks like Ricky on the mound. That guy's big.
Yeah, he's got tree trunks for legs.
Oh, my God.
He's wearing the can't tell if those are Air Forces or not. Maybe Jordans. Yeah, no, that's not a great throw. The accuracy should be questioned now for Malik Willis. And I have seen enough to say that Quinn Ewers should be QB1 in South Beach this year.
That's all you needed was that right there.
Even before that, I would have felt that way. But, yeah, seeing that, you trust this guy to be their franchise quarterback, Miami?
Well, he's big. He won't get knocked out.
Is that all it takes? You just want a guy who doesn't get hurt?
Dude, I've been watching Tua for the last 4 years at that place.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Probably be healthier than Tua. It feels like anybody's going to be healthier than Tua. Yeah, 6'1", 220 pounds, Malik Willis. Again, major accuracy concerns, I think. So if I'm Quinn Ewers, I'm going up to that new coaching staff in Miami and making sure they saw this.
See that video? I want you to see this video.
Yeah, this is the kind of accuracy you're going to be getting from this guy this year. The Secret Service, Buck. I always get a kick out of the Secret Service making the news because I feel like they're not supposed to be in the news, right?
No, you don't want them in the news.
It's the Secret Service. You don't want, you know, they exist, but like you don't want to really know about what they're doing. You just just do it.
Yeah, we don't need to know their secrets.
Well, we've got a Secret Service agent also in Miami, ironically enough, a guy by the name of John Spillman, who was recently arrested. And here's a little screen share picture for those of you watching this program. He was recently arrested in Miami at a hotel. I'm going to ask before I give you the details of this story, what your guess is. Why do you think John Spillman is his name, Secret Service guy? Why do you think he was arrested at a hotel in the Miami area?
Miami, cocaine, that red nose of his. He was, I don't know, meeting some friends with some nose candy or something.
A little booger sugar?
Yeah, look at that. His nose is awful red there.
Perhaps some drugs were a part of this guy getting arrested, but that is not the reason. He was thrown in the slammer. John Spillman was arrested for indecent exposure, with law enforcement claiming he was masturbating.
You're the Secret Service, not the service.
Not the what?
To get caught playing with your self service. You're the secret. Everything's supposed to be a secret, dude.
He was caught not being the master of his own domain in a hotel hallway.
What?
Yeah, it's like if you're in your room, if you're in your hotel room, then it's fine. You do whatever you want in there. That's not out in public, but
even with the remote, even if things happen with the remote, that's in the privacy of your own room.
It sounds like you have
some experience. Not saying I would know anything about that, but
it sure sounds like your experience. I mean, you went right to that. You have a story you'd like to tell us?
No.
See, I was right. You always talk about the importance of remote condoms, and I always accused you of inserting those things in certain places, and now it sounds like I was right the whole time.
I always bring protection when I go in there and have those remote control things. Yes.
Oh, before you insert them, you make sure there's a barrier.
Oh, I should have never even said that. Forget it.
Yeah. Well.
What was John Doe or whatever his name is? What was he doing?
He was reportedly in Florida. He was actually working for President Trump at the Cadillac Championship, the PGA tournament there last weekend.
Yeah, the president was there at his place,
which was at Trump National. And this guy was working perimeter security for the president. He was staying at a DoubleTree by Hilton Hotel near the Miami airport.
You got a great cookie there. They give you a great chocolate cookie.
Oh, that's the place, right?
That's the place.
Maybe the cookie got him going a little bit.
Too much sugar.
The warm, the gooey.
Too much sugar for the dude.
Maybe that was it. But yeah, Sunday night after the tournament was over, hotel guests told investigators that Spielman started following them from the hotel lobby before allegedly rubbing one out in the hallway outside of their hotel room. Hotel security was called, and well, they got there. They didn't like, see him after the fact. They had to knock on the door and be like, hey, you're under arrest. No, they got there. And he was doing the deed with his pants down in the hallway.
Wow.
It's got to be tough to see. Not quite the night you want to be working security, I think.
Man.
Not the call you're looking for. So, Secret Service Chief Richard McCauley said the alleged conduct is unacceptable and stands in stark contrast to the professionalism and integrity that I demand of our personnel.
That's not acceptable, no.
And we can't accept that. He has been placed on leave
forever,
probably forever. I guess they're gonna wait and see, like, if the allegations are true, but doesn't sound like there's a whole lot of evidence in support of
like there's some people that actually eyewitnesses,
and look at the sticky stuff over there
and the cameras. They got cameras in the hall. And
look at that stain on the old ass carpet here at weird design that hotel hallways.
Sorry about that cookie monster.
Yeah. So there's your BBK news today. Real quick, why today is not so bad, May 6th. Willie Mays' debut, the Say Hey Kid, who also celebrates a birthday today.
One of my favorite all-time players.
Yep. He would go on to become one of the greatest all-around players in baseball history, but he was called up to the bigs by the New York Giants on this day in 1950. One, and you were there at his first game, correct?
I was not there, quite born yet. The Say Hey Kid.
Also on this day, the Hindenburg disaster.
I was not around for that either.
1937. That's got to be close. 1840. On this day, the world's first adhesive postage stamp was officially issued in the United Kingdom. Uh-oh. Did we lose Buck? Did we lose me? Am I frozen? Is he frozen? Can y'all hear us? Can y'all hear either of us? I don't know. Anybody there? Okay, Bucky's frozen. All right, I'll keep talking then. See if we can get the Buck back on here before we wrap things up. Some birthdays to celebrate. George Clooney, 65. Jose Altuve, Astros legend, future Hall of Famer, 36. Point God, Chris Paul, 41. That's too much me on the screen. Angel Reese, the Bucks' favorite athlete, 24. Dicker the Kicker, Cameron Dicker, 26 today. Jason Witten, future Hall of Famer, legendary Cowboys tight end, 44. Great day for birthdays here. Martin Brodeur, for you hockey fans, is 54. And Meek Mill, for you rapper fan. You rapper fans? Fans of rap? Probably the better way to describe it. I don't think I've ever sounded so white in my life. Meek Mill, 39 today. All right, well, I guess the Buck freezing, maybe he did that on purpose, although I don't know if he's good enough with technology to know how to do that on purpose, but I guess that's our cue to get out of here. Happy International No Diet Day today. Go eat whatever you want. Go to Hat Creek and get you a burger. National Nurses Day. Shout out to our nurses out there. And National Beverage Day. Y'all know my choice is an Altstadt. I might throw in some Early Bird CBD drops in there as well. That will do it for a Wednesday show. Rousing ending. Sorry you didn't get the crotch shot of the Buck. I know everybody looks forward to that at the end of all of our programs. But appreciate y'all tuning in. We'll be live at Sue Patrick tomorrow from 9 to 11. If y'all want to come out and see us, we would love for you to say hi, get your Longhorn gear, get your Mother's Day gifts. And yeah, we'll have more sports, more fun, and our QVC segment with Jay of Sue Patrick coming up tomorrow. Thank y'all for tuning in on a Wednesday. We will talk to y'all tomorrow.